Joining me in the studio this morning is our returning guest. It's CEO Victoria Goody from Us in a Bus. It's a charity celebrating a big birthday this year. Details about how you can help will be coming up later in the show. But first, morning, Victoria.
Good morning and happy birthday to you too.
Yes, like, I know. just debating that, I thought I'd come into a big cake, but there's nothing around. So.
Sorry, I would have brought a cake.
No, that's absolutely fine. So, can I ask you, first of all, so for people that may not know who Us in a Bus is, tell me a little bit about the organisation and the work that you do.
Okay, so we are a small charity. We're based in Redhill. We also operate out of Guildford. We cover the whole of the Surrey area and bits of what I'm calling Greater Surrey, so bits of South London. We're just hopefully about to get our first session in West Sussex, which is very exciting. And we also do training, which we do nationally and internationally. So we work with people who have a profound and multiple learning disability. Okay. So if you imagine the most disabled people on the spectrum, we work with people with autism and sensory processing disorders and other things like that. And what we do is we use communication methodologies, principally one called intensive interaction. And it's a really person-centred approach. And we try and really work out what makes a person tick. So we observe a person, we spend lots of time with them, and very importantly, we try and have the same people visit every week.
Okay.
And so often the relationships we have with people are ones that have been there since even perhaps a person came out of long-term institutions in about 1996.
Yes.
Do you remember when,
we
moved out of all the big hospitals?
Yeah.
And so sometimes we've been working with people for weeks, months, years, and it can take that long to build up this really special and intense and wonderful relationship with people. And it's just a joy. We're so lucky to do the job we do, and it's just brilliant. I wish I could put, well, I would love, if any of your listeners are interested, we've got some videos on our website, usinabus.org.uk, and you can see the videos, and you can just see these wonderful special bonds that you can create simply by spending time with a person. So not doing anything for them or at them, but with them, genuinely with them, and the connection, it just sings in the photos and the videos. So.
I mean, I can understand that a little bit, because we have a chap called Stephen who comes down. He's in supported living, and he comes down, he does Stephen's selection, he picks some songs, and he has he struggles with his vocabulary and talking and getting the words out.
Yep.
And over time, actually, it's really given him confidence, and he's a lot more clearer now. We can hear what he's saying, and he can construct sentences and things, and it's just lovely to see. And over that time, over the year, actually, it's kind of,
well, it's an investment, isn't it?
Yeah,
because what you're really saying is, I'm interested in what you've got to say in whatever way you want to say it, and you've got to be speaking the same language. So for example, if we were doing this interview now and you were speaking in Hungarian, I wouldn't have a clue what you're on about. And so you've got to take away all your preconceptions of how you're going to communicate and go, hang on a minute, I need to work out how this person wants to communicate. What are they trying to tell me? What's important for them right now? And that's why we look a lot about context. So the example I always give to people is, you've got to think about what that person's, if they're anxious or excited or scared, you're not going to get the best situation out. The example I always give is, imagine trying to do the driving test when you're absolutely bursting to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your finest moment? No, it's not. So you've just got to really put yourself in them shoes and think, what's going on for this person right now?
It's just taking that time, isn't it? And kind of not rushing and like you're saying, understanding.
Investing.
Yeah.
And what it really is saying, who you are is just as important as everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what, with Stephen, why shouldn't Stephen have a voice on the radio?
Absolutely.
Just because he doesn't speak perfect Queen's English or whatever.
Well, I'm not sure all of us do all the time.
No, exactly.
Judging by social media.
Likewise. And so you support all age groups, or is it adults?
We mostly support adults. We support quite a lot of people who are coming out of the school system. And so that's called transition age, which is, the age can vary coming out of the school system for people with learning disability, and often it's quite a shock coming out of that system, because it's a lot of people live in boarding accommodation, so perhaps they're coming home and they're having a change, and that can be quite a difficult period for a lot of people. So we often work with people, and then they're coming out of that transition phase, The oldest client we have, I think, is 101, but I could be wrong.
Oh, wow.
But we have a lot of, you know, that very sadly is well documented. People learning disability die an awful lot younger than the general population. So,
yeah, that must be very hard as well.
It's incredibly hard, especially when you've got these relationships, as I say, built over weeks, months, years.
Yeah. It's like a family, isn't it?
It totally is. Totally is. And, you know, we try as hard as we can to go to funerals and, you know, write things when people pass away. Because they are. They're family. They're friends and family.
I can only imagine. But just, you know, from the work I've kind of done, voluntary, I think, it is hard, yeah. So I'm just going to take you back to September, because you came in, we had you on the telephone last time, actually, and it was actually not for the best of reasons either, was it? Because, unfortunately, you had your bus, which isn't a normal, ordinary bus, is it? Was it stolen?
It was stolen. So I had a phone call saying, where's the vans? I was on my way to work, and it was our training week, which is when we often get the brakes done and all the rest of it. So it didn't immediately make me think, oh my goodness, it's been stolen. And I put it on Facebook. I said, goodness me. Well, I'm not sure I said goodness me, but let's pretend I said goodness me.
Yeah, I can imagine. that's a polite way of putting it.
One of the vans has been stolen. Can anyone help? And then a lovely lady from Nutfield rang up and she said, we found your van. And I just assumed it was, you know, the wheels had been nicked and it was propped up on bricks or something.
Right, yeah.
But unfortunately, three fields later, and once I'd climbed across a stream and I wasn't wearing the right shoes, we found the van and there was a plume of smoke 80 foot high.
Oh.
And it was still hot to the touch. And what had happened, they'd stolen it from the aerodrome. Within 3 minutes of getting onto the aerodrome, they'd driven it away, even though we had all the security features.
Gosh.
And it was found about 6 hours later. But they'd taken, very skillfully, out the engine, the doors, the seats, the seat runners, the mirrors, basically anything of value they'd taken out, the brakes, the brake pads, everything. What frustrates me is these people could be really good mechanics.
Yeah.
Why aren't they getting a proper job at QuickFit? Because they obviously did it quite in a field, you know. That must be a difficult working environment, but it was torched, it was burnt.
Did you ever find out, I mean, without giving names or anything like that, but did they ever catch these people?
I can't say I've been overwhelmed by the police response.
Okay. So a real negative period in the charity, and like you said before as well, this isn't just an ordinary bus, is it? This is
I mean, it literally says on the side, supporting people with a profound disability. So you've got to be quite a cold-hearted person to go, do you know what, that's the van I'm going to steal.
Yeah, I mean, it beggars belief, doesn't it? Absolutely.
And we've only got four vans, so obviously that's 25% of our capacity disappeared overnight. And it put an awful strain on the staff, because they've got to start driving their own cars, and that costs a lot of money, and it means you've got to go and pick up people from state. And it just had so many knock-on effects.
Yeah.
And apart from anything else, I just spent, or me and the ladies in the office, we just spent ages ringing up insurers, who incidentally were absolutely brilliant. You know, we always knock insurers. Mm. Our insurers were amazing.
Oh.
Did us a really good deal. We spoke to them. They said, this is just really unfair. And they were so good. Frankly, it's just a waste of time. You know, I could be doing so much more important things than. But I can't tell you, the public response was absolutely mind-blowing.
That's when you know, isn't it?
Just, oh my God, it was amazing.
When something like that happens. And,
so many people who'd never heard of us before or never supported us before. The one that absolutely blew my mind, and my daughter's with me today, Charlotte, her little friend Melissa gave us all her pocket money that week. And we're all sat in the office, all grown women of a certain age,
imagine.
And we're all having a little moment
because
we've been given £5 by Melissa.
Such a big thing. It is. It just shows you anyway.
And there were
the impact.
So many people who gave us, you know, very generous, you know, people who would send cheques for £1,000. Yeah. And of course, that's lovely. But I'm afraid it was Melissa's £5 that made me cry the most.
It's about the efforts, isn't it, as well? So you've got some good news to report now about the bus.
We have, yes. Thanks to everyone's donations, which were amazing. We have got a new bus. It's slightly different to the one we had before, but that's fine. We got a good price for it. And it's fully funded for the next year. And that's the big thing for us, because actually running the vans is really high cost. So one of the things we've noticed is the running costs of the vans has gone up. So I don't want to mention the word potholes, but potholes.
Yes, yeah, well, there's plenty of them about.
Tyres are not lasting as long as they used to, and you know, brakes and all the rest of it. So it's really important to have the running costs paid for as well as the actual van.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We're so appreciative of everybody's support. Yeah. So
and we
really
will be talking later on in the show about how people can get involved with fundraising.
Oh, yes,
and,
absolutely.
On that positive note, we're going to go over to a song and some ads, and then we're going to come back and talk about a very special birthday for yourselves.
Lovely. Thank
Joining me in the studio, we have Victoria Goody, the CEO of Us in a Bus. Hi, Victoria.
Hello.
So to mark 30 years, you're putting a team together, aren't you, to celebrate your birthday?
We are. I've got a bit carried away, and we're doing lots of events to celebrate our birthday. So probably the most important one is we're doing a two-day session with some of the people we support at St. John's in Redhill, which we're really excited about. So we'll be inviting a number of the people we support from all over the county. So there's lots of logistical and safety and complications as to how we organise that, but we're really excited about inviting them to join us for a session which will be structured around elements, so earth, wind, fire and all that sort of stuff. So doing lots of stuff about, so just as an example, the red of friendship or the blue water of calmness and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that sounds absolutely lovely. Yeah.
I think it sounds wonderful.
Yes.
and my colleague who is helping organise it with all the team, she's managed to get a flautist to come along and play, and said, I can't imagine that lots of people we work with have heard a live flautist before. And I sat there thinking, I'm not entirely sure I've ever heard a live flautist right next to me. But anyway, so that will be a lovely experience. I'm really looking forward to that. So we're very luckily that we've been funded partly by Nutfield Council for that, and the co-op, who have been extraordinarily generous. So the customers in the Hawley area co-op, there's three or four stores, and they've been very generous with the buckets, so all of that money's gone to pay for that event, which is really exciting.
Fantastic.
And they're going to come along on the day and help us with the tea and coffee, so we're super excited
about
that.
I love that
Later in the year, right at the end in November, we're having a conference. So this is more for people who work in the sector. So if anyone is listening and is in the sector of, so lots of speech and language therapists, lots of NHS workers come along, and we're really excited about that. So we're talking about how we really embed intensive interaction to make sure that the work we do essentially flow through people's days. So it's not just us once a week. It's everything. But the two things that I would really love to talk to your listeners about, we're doing the Three Peaks in September.
Yes, actually, we're going to come back to Three Peaks, I think, after.
We will.
We'll do a song. Let's talk about the birthday celebration.
Birthday. So we're having our first ever, what I'm calling, fancy dinner dance. Mm. And this is really because I've got to a certain age and I never get to go to weddings anymore, and I want to buy a new dress and get dressed up, do something fancy. So we are very lucky to have Adam Pearson, our patron.
Yeah.
And viewers might have seen him recently on Question Time. And he's brilliant. He's a brilliant advocate for disability campaigning, disability rights, all the rest of it. So we're going to have, obviously, we're going to start with champagne. All best evenings do. Then we're going to do a sort of question and answer with Adam, and we're going to have general questions from people who have come along, then a dinner silent auction, and we've got some amazing prizes, including three nights in New York, which I'm very excited about.
That is a prize.
and then some dancing afterwards, so we're really excited about that, because we've never done, you know, lots of really big charities do a lot of stuff like that, and it's a bit out there for us. It's something very different. But you know what? I think a lot of people like me would go, I don't want to run a marathon. I don't want to do a fire walk. No, I'm not interested.
I'm totally with you, actually.
But I will come along for a nice dinner.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that one, definitely. And, you know, at the end of the day, Adam Pearson is a wonderful...
He's a wonderful
speaker as well, isn't he?
And he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's really funny, man. He makes us all chuckle. So we're really excited about that. And that's at the very beautiful Hartsfield Manor Hotel in Betchworth. So right in the middle of the Surrey patch. Mm. And it's such a beautiful place to go to. So that's in October. And, you know, we're really hoping for a diversity. So one, as you said before, with the van being stolen, the exciting thing about it was meeting this new bunch of people that we'd never met before and hadn't heard of us. And I'm rather hoping the dinner dance is the same, that, you know...
attract a whole new community of people
who don't want to do skydiving as a fundraiser.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I have to say, the amount of times you do see that, like, come and run a marathon and things, and, like, people like me, who would probably have to train about 20 years to do something like that.
Well, if I can do it, you definitely can.
No way.
Damn
that
it.
Sounds like a challenge, actually, doesn't it?
Excellent.
Can I ask you, because how long have you been in your role?
4 years now.
4 years. So if I asked you kind of what did Us on a Bus look like 30 years ago?
Oh, it was completely different. So that it was set up as a couple of months trial, I believe, by Scope, which was then the Spastic Society.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was all to do with the transition out of the long-term institutions. Mm. And so Marianne and Janet, who were the first
And they're on your website,
employees.
Aren't they? Because I was looking at it, and there's some lovely stories
from
people who have been there from day one. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if you can imagine such a different world. Mm. You know, wards of 30, 60, 90 people. Yeah. I mean, it would just be absolutely incomprehensible now. And just a very different way of caring about people. Mm-hmm.
Very different reasons for going into places like that. I mean, for reasons you just wouldn't believe as well. You know, people having children, you know, not being married in certain ages.
Yeah.
And I don't know, at one point, wasn't even left-handed people, I think. Well,
gosh, yeah.
It's a different world.
It's just a totally different attitude to disability. Mm. So where the hospital was in Red Hill, it was called Philanthropic Road. So it was set up with the best of intentions.
Yeah.
You know, it was to look after people.
Yeah.
But even the way in which you look after people has changed a great deal. Mm. So before we talked about doing things for people or at people.
Yes.
And I think that has really changed.
Yeah.
That, you know, that the whole care system does try more, and I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is pretty good, is to do things with people, not for them or at them.
Yeah.
And obviously some things do need to be done, you know.
Yeah, sure. But the more you can do that, but let somebody be as independent as they can be.
And make their own choices.
Yeah,
and
it's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's... So compared to what Janet and Marianne would have found then, 30 years ago, I think it's...
Yeah.
Astronomically different. So if you look on the website, the piece that Marianne wrote, which really made me chuckle because I'd never heard her say it before, was the bit that really freaked her out at the beginning was buying a van. I just thought, oh my goodness me.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, just fabulous. And 30 years on as well. I mean, that is an amazing amount of time, isn't it? To think of all those people that have been helped in that time.
It totally is. And I think... in a week that's not been very brilliant for a lot of charities, it's so amazing for a small charity to survive 30. You know, lots of charities come with a blaze of glory and then disappear reasonably quickly. And it's so important to say 30 years is a really big deal for a small charity.
Mm.
And funding doesn't get any easier.
No.
In fact, if anything, it's getting worse. The proportion of money that goes to big charities is increasing, which baffles me.
Yeah, sure. And they actually have more money to be able to kind of promote themselves and fundraise and everything else. So,
and actually, when it comes down to it, most people notice the impact of smaller charities.
Mm.
It's much more obvious. So it's a challenge. Fundraising, I think in the last 2 years, fundraising, or maybe in the last 10 years, but particularly the last 2 years, fundraising has got harder and harder.
Yeah, because that is kind of the times we're in as well, isn't it? And people kind of having to hold on to their money a lot, you know, more as well.
Yeah.
So,
And I'm not unrealistic, although my board roll their eyes when I say that I have plans for world domination, because it's the service we provide, it's easy to get it in Surrey, but it's so unfair. If you're the mother of a child in Norwich or
And if somebody moves even out to Mongolia from Surrey area and goes somewhere else and hopes to get the same experiences and things, and
there are practitioners out there, but there's no charity that offers, you know, full coverage. You know, visiting 260 people a week in 60 different homes. So at the very least, I would like to cover South London and Sussex.
Yeah.
But obviously, I haven't got the money for that yet.
No. But as you say, I mean, these things, you know, 30 years in Surrey, so and raising more and more awareness. Yeah. Let's hope.
I would love.
We're going to go over to another song, then we're going to come back and talk about that Three Peaks Challenge, which there's no way I'm going to get up Three Peaks. So. Coming back to Victoria. Thank you, Victoria, for coming. Hello. Joining us this morning. It's been absolutely fantastic talking with you this morning. And we mentioned before that there's a Three Peaks Challenge that's been done in celebration of the 30th birthday for Us and a Bus. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I certainly can. I very stupidly am doing it too.
Oh, you are?
I'm very anxious. I had my second training walk yesterday. So we are putting together a team of 12 people to climb the Three Peaks, and we're doing what I'm calling the real Three Peaks, not the ones in Yorkshire or something. So
the
we're
ones
doing
in my back garden.
Yeah. So we're doing Ben Nevis. So we start on the Saturday afternoon. Mm. We meet and we climb Ben Nevis, and then we drive to Scafell Pike, climb that, which is the largest hill in England, mountain rather, and then we drive to Snowdon and we do that. So I didn't really realise, you hear all these stories about sort of slightly mad people trying to do it in 24 hours. You basically can't do that anymore, because it not only would it involve you essentially running up and down, which is madness.
Wow.
You'd have to break the speed limit. So no responsible company now sort of really offers that too much. So we're doing it at a slightly more leisurely pace. It's still, again, madness, but not requiring us to break the law. So we need 12 people. We're doing it with a company called Roar Adventures. Mm. So the trustees of the charity weren't really keen on us organising it ourselves, and lots of people do that, but I think they thought that potentially us losing people in the mist on Scafell Pike or something
it makes sense,
would be
doesn't
a poor
it?
Yeah. reflection on the brand, not to mention the insurance risk. So we're using a proper company, and I'm really pleased about that, because obviously they know where to go apart from anything else, but they're all first aiders and all that kind of thing, and I think some of them are ex-military as well, so I think, you know, and there's one at the front, one at the back. Mm. So you, I think we'd get a much nicer team.
Yeah,
thing, you won't end up
I think you'd feel,
bits
feel a bit safer as well, wouldn't you? I mean,
absolutely.
I think I'd prefer that if I could ever do it. So it's 26 miles, isn't it, in total?
It is, which sounds quite scary, but I think when you break it down into three sections, and then obviously of those three sections, half is going up and half is coming down.
Right.
So that's how I'm mentally getting my head around it. So I'm a very keen walker, and I do a lot of long distance walking. But if I'm perfectly honest, I'm a complete hill dodger. I don't do hills. I walk. I'm currently doing the High Weald Way, which is absolutely glorious, walking through the Weald of Sussex.
Yeah.
Not that many hills, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, isn't it? I love walking. It's the hills that get me.
Yeah, so it's beautiful and flat, and, you know, lots of railway, old railways, which are as flat as pancakes. So I'm really thinking, I don't want to be the one holding the team back, although, I mean, obviously we'll walk as a team. So, as I say, I went for my second training walk yesterday, which involves me stomping up and down Box Hill, which is very near where I live.
Yeah. That's a big old hill.
It is a big hill.
I've gone down that many times on my backside on the chalk area, actually.
It was a bit treacherous yesterday, but I think once I've agreed to something, I want to make a go of it.
Yeah, sure.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to be a team of 10 or 12 or however many people sign up. We're going to do some training walks up and down on Box Hill, because Roar Adventures actually recommend for anybody in Surrey or Sussex, actually go to Box Hill, because it's the biggest hill in the area.
Yeah, so, and actually it's a really good, and it's lovely, isn't it?
It's
a lovely area.
And there's a cake shop at the top.
Oh, yes.
Which is quite a temptation.
I haven't been here for a while. I'm going to have to do this now. I haven't been for a while, but
And so we're going to have a group fundraising pot, because it slightly takes the pressure off, because you know that there's lots of you sort of putting pressure on people to sponsor you. And for me, that sort of frees up quite a lot of individual pressure, because I know it's one of the things that puts people off. Now, the downside of the Three Peaks is it's quite an expensive thing to sign up to do.
Okay.
So we need people to pay, and it is quite a lot of money, but it has to pay for all the experts, the travel, the bed and breakfast at the end, the dinner, the safety stuff, and all the rest of it. So I do I fully appreciate that it's not a task for everybody. But my good friend Helen, who has signed up, and she said, "Do you know what? I've wanted to do it for years. I need to do a I need a thing to work towards. And it's just a really good time for me." And I was like, "Right, send her the form, quick sharp." And sometimes people, I know for me that my physical fitness goes out the window if I don't have something to work towards. And so hopefully there'll be listeners out there who are sat listening, possibly eating porridge now, thinking, do you know what? Maybe I should. Maybe I should have a go. Maybe
and actually, you know, some people might want to do it, but I just don't know how to go about doing something like that. And knowing that there's a, you know, group of people, a safe, you know, safety put in, you know, place and everything else. So,
and to be honest, all the people we've got signed up so far, I'd say over half of them are ladies of a certain age. You know, we're not a bunch of 25-year-olds who are going to practically run up it. And I think this, actually, when I was talking to Raw Adventures, they said, you know, one of the problems they have is when you do get that sort of young, overexcited person who wants to go ahead. And of course, you can't. You're in a team. So we're all people of a of an age.
Well, it sounds lovely.
I'm really excited.
Are you going to? I mean, I don't know what this. I don't know what the. Signals like up these other peaks.
Oh, we could ring you from the top. Oh, how exciting!
That's okay. But will you be kind of documenting? And
Absolutely. Yes. Actually, on the Sunday morning, we will be going up Scarfell Pike.
Oh, we'll definitely give me a ring.
We'll give you a ring from the top of Scarfell Pike. We certainly will be. I mean, I think for a lot of us, it's a real challenge. I mean, it's.
These things aren't easy, are they? Because otherwise we'd all be doing them.
So. Exactly. And I think there's quite a few people who have climbed mountains, but not maybe three. And I so stupidly last year we were having a bit of a funding crisis, and I did the marathon, which took me a year to train for. And I, you know, I still didn't do a massively, remotely impressive time, but I finished it.
I personally don't think it should be about the time, it's about doing it, I think. And
it was just unbelievable to say, frankly, I never have to do that again. I've done it, you know, I have done that.
Yeah.
And the sense of achievement is just astonishing. And the good thing is that because I was so slow, they don't normally let people do this, but right at the end, they let my daughter come and do the last 200 metres with me.
Oh, lovely.
So I crossed the line and we both had us in a bus t-shirts on. And it was just, it was a lovely moment. So emotional. So I think a lot of people, particularly, you know, once you get to a certain age, you stay away from those challenges.
Yeah.
And actually, it's more worth doing because...
Because it is such a... Yeah, you've proven something. You can still do these things.
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk about it later, but I want to show my daughter that, you know, women can do all of these things. And, you know, even if it is a completely crazy idea, especially when you sign up to do these things, I want her to see me being active.
Positive role model.
Absolutely.
So we've got some. So you have got some running fundraising going on as well, haven't you?
We do. We are always very keen. So the two events we invest in are Run Reigate, which is a gold award, multi-year winning Britain's favourite small half marathon, which is also a 10K, and they've just introduced a new 5K. Fantastic. She says, looking at Lara, 5K. that was a maybe. Rebecca, our fundraising manager, will be sat at home writing this down saying, contact Laura.
if somebody could help me get to that fitness, I would do it. But
so we often have a big team, and that's one that we really look forward to. So we have one corporate sponsor, and they're really good at getting a big team for that because, you know, lots of people get involved for a 10K. Sure. Although there is now a half marathon. The other one we love to have runners for is Brighton Marathon, which is absolutely amazing. So I'll be going down in a few weeks. It's such a joyful marathon. And if anyone's interested, we would love people for that. Now, people always go, oh, I don't want to do Brighton. Will you get me a London place? And I tell you, there's no small charity will get you a place for London.
Yeah.
There aren't spaces available. We couldn't get one even if we wanted to. Sure. And if we did,
one of yourselves,
they'd be
maybe.
Thousands yeah. of pounds. And then, of course, you've got to fundraise on top of that. So gosh. What's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not get a Brighton Marathon place for 70?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense.
So
Victoria, because before we wrap up, because I've realised we are running out of time, which is I could talk to you forever. I'm going to ask you one question actually, because as we've just mentioned, it is International Women's Day. The theme this year is Each for Equal, and you know you're a successful CEO mm-hmm. of a charity. Can you give me a little bit of insight what International Women's Day means to you?
I think it's wonderful. I'm very lucky that I work with a team of probably 75% women. Mm. And I'm so, so lucky to be surrounded by just joyful, clever, positive women. International Women's Day for me means saying a reflection of what's working well now and saying we want to improve on things for the next generation. Mm. So there's lots of things. I think the position the women have today is so much better than it was 30, 60, 90 years ago. But I don't want it to be like this in 30 years' time, you know. The Equal Pay Act was passed roughly when I was born.
Yeah.
And women still aren't earning the same as for men for the same job.
No.
I don't want that for my daughter. That's ridiculous. You know, I saw yesterday on the radio that domestic violence in Surrey has gone up.
Okay.
Now, that might just be because more people are reporting it, which is
a good thing. Sure.
But that can't be right. That can't be right for society. But in general, I think we're going in the right direction. We just need to speed it up a bit.
Yeah, 100% with you on that, actually. Totally agree.
And I'm so lucky to have my mad daughter waving at me through the window. And she's an absolute blessing. And I want her to... She very proudly told a boy in the playground when she was about four who was picking on her. She said, I can do everything you can do and I can make babies. And I've never been prouder. She's brilliant.
Her.
And I want all girls to...
To follow her, yeah,
to be
follow
able to do
for your daughter. Oh, bless. Yeah, I completely agree. And it's just, you know, it's great to have that one day, but we need to have that one day every day, don't we?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We do.
Victoria, just before we finish, just can you give us details of how people can get in touch
with
you?
Yes, of course. So you can either find us on the internet, usandabus.org.uk, or info@usandabus.org.uk, or you could ring the office. We have websites, we're on all social media. Apart from TikTok, I'm still not sure about TikTok. So you can find us on any social media.
Fantastic.
And we'd love to hear from you.
And you've got the hashtag 30 years on the bus, celebrating the 30 years.
We do. We also have hiking for the bus, running for the bus.
Oh, really? Okay.
And all sorts of different things.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
We would love to see your photos and hear from people.
Thank you so much for coming
down
to the studio. It's been an absolute pleasure having you
thank
here.
You.
And can't wait to hear how you all get on as well.
Thank you so much.